Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The number of oil rigs that are offline in the U.S. sounds like industry jargon, but it's actually an important part of the equation related to what consumers pay. We'll check in with a Journal Energy reporter in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. If there's any uncertainty about the economy, it's not being felt by consumers as they walk to the checkout counter. Economists still feel the effects of slower growth overseas, and trade skirmishes represent dark clouds on the horizon. But the Census Bureau says in June, American shoppers increased their spending and factories ramped up production. Americans picked up their spending online, up 13.4% from a year ago, and they spent heavily at clothing stores, restaurants, and building material supply stores. And it may come as no surprise that sales of plant-based burgers are rising, but what may be surprising is that a 10% jump in sales is thanks to meat eaters. The market research company NPD Group reports that vegans and vegetarians no doubt have been part of the growth of plant-based burgers, but people who eat meat are bigger contributors to sales as they look to increase the amount of plant-based foods in their diet. NPD's research says that 95% of plant-based buyers have made a beef burger purchase within the last year. Now, beef burgers are still the top sandwich ordered at U.S. restaurants, but growth is flat compared to last year. And in trying plant-based burgers, NPD Group says that meat lovers still get the burger experience without giving up protein, and they also remain attentive to social concerns.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
We often talk about oil prices here on Your Money Briefing, which are up 30% year-to-date, but we don't often talk about the number of oil rigs in operation, and that's an important part of the equation. Journal Energy reporter Stephanie Yang is here to explain why the number of active rigs has fallen substantially and why that's important. So Stephanie, let's start with why the rig count has fallen to a 17-month low.
Yeah, so this has kind of been happening gradually over, you know, this year and also, you know, into the year before. And that's because we've seen oil companies really start to cut back on what they're targeting in terms of production growth. And that's coming from, you know, investor pressure because they've been, you know, with these companies for years and all they've seen is production growth, but is really lacking in returns. So now the companies are shifting their tune and pulling back.
And this is because shale companies, they also can't attract investment. And that seems counterintuitive because shale has been the hottest thing in the oil market for years.
Right. Yeah. And so for years, it was the case that everyone really wanted to get in on this rush. You know, I previously mentioned they just weren't seeing the returns come back from that. So it just ended up starting not to look as much as attractive of an investment to people unless they were willing to prioritize, you know, returning cash to shareholders.
They raised less than $400 million this year by selling new shares. That compares with $6.5 billion last year. So a substantial drawdown, as you were saying. And even if shale drillers wanted to ramp up production to try to slow down the pace at which oil prices have risen, they couldn't.
So I guess technically they could go in that direction. It doesn't seem like it's a direction that anyone really wants to go in now, particularly because if they're not raising money through equity, they would have to turn to debt markets. And they actually are looking into more non-traditional means of financing. But I think generally they also don't want to be taking on more debt since that has been a strategy over the past few years that hasn't quite panned out the way they want it to.
And there are those who watch the industry who say that supply is expected to outpace demand next year in terms of shale.
Yeah, so the International Energy Agency is one of those organizations forecasting that we're going to see an oversupplied market in 2020. So while U.S. shale production is increasing and people expect it to continue, the global oil cartel, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, they're cutting back. And so it raises an interesting question that if OPEC is cutting back and U.S. shale growth is not as strong as people expect it to, are we still going to see that oversupplied market? And I think you've got a little bit of a debate there.
And so for the consumer, how are they going to feel the effects of all this?
That's also an interesting question. So if the U.S. shale industry does keep growing, it means, you know, a lot more oil for the U.S. and also, you know, as we export more for the global market. If the, you know, if that growth rate slows, then that would definitely mean, you know, support to oil prices. But that gets into a very complicated equation where you also have to look at oil demand, which a lot of people are saying is also not going to be as strong as they had previously expected, maybe last year or the year before.
And so, Stephanie, for the consumer who is involved with natural gas and buying natural gas and such, and you have futures now of natural gas trading on the low end, is that a result of all this?
Yeah, so along with a boom in oil production, the shale revolution has led to more natural gas supplies than we've ever seen. And so with a lot of these big oil producers, they also take out natural gas as a byproduct, which means that, you know, the more oil they produce, the more natural gas they produce as well, which is leading to these very low prices.
And then people who monitor the rig counts around the country, they expect the number of rigs in operation to diminish even more going forward.
For the rest of the year, as we see this trend continue with investors demanding, you know, restrained production growth and returning cash to shareholders, that generally tends to point in the direction of we're going to continue to see production come down.
All right. So for investors and for consumers, you can see how the rig count is very important. It's a very prominent economic indicator. It's a prominent component of the economy. And you can track it on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. And Stephanie Yang is good enough to be with us here in our studio. Stephanie, thanks for coming on the show.
Great. Thank you so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.